Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning, and welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm so very glad that you could join us this morning. This morning, I have a very special friend and guest with me in the studio, Pastor Stephen Geary, Senior Pastor of Family Community Fellowship, formerly Brimhall Road Assembly of God, is with me this morning. It's so good to have you here.
It's nice to be here today, Phil. Good to see you.
You and I go back many, many years. I'm thinking around 23 years ago you and I met?
That would be right. 23 years ago when my family moved back to Bakersfield, yes.
Do you recall the circumstances in which our paths crossed and we ultimately became friends and ministry partners as we remain today?
Well, as I remember, we were introduced by a mutual friend because I had shared about a desire that I had to minister to folks who were impacted at that time by the HIV and AIDS virus that was beginning to burgeon and kind of explode, sadly, around our nation. And it was a conversation that we had in a local pastor's office that just kind of furthered on into more conversations and the development of what we are involved in today in His Way Out Ministries.
I remember very, very well that when you and I met, I was immediately struck that you were one of those individuals when it comes to the whole subject matter of homosexuality. You, even many, many years ago, took a step back and said, you know, I need to be well educated and more versed on this so that I can offer to someone struggling with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction something much more than just it's wrong.
Well, exactly. I think, again, my involvement, as I just mentioned, started with a concern about those that were impacted by HIV and AIDS. But as you go more and more into a compassionate reach to friends that are dealing with these particular medical issues, you realize that there are undercurrents regarding same-gender identity and homosexuality that really are also involved in the conversation. And as someone who, that's not my issue, I felt in order to be able to talk with anyone about it, I just had to become more educated. I had to find out a little bit more. I had to talk with people about their journey so that I could somehow at least build a bridge in conversation with folks who had a very different view of this than I did.
I know that you and I are completely on the same page in that we believe that the church remains God's vehicle to reach wounded, broken, hurting humanity, which includes men and women struggling, again, with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. How would you say we, the church, have done and are doing with regards to offering ministry to men and women with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction? How do you think we're doing?
Well, I think there have been a lot of missteps along the way. I think that when it comes to the church in general, we started out with heavy judgmentalism. I think that we've moved, hopefully, to a more educated posture regarding sexual identity and identity in general, as far as individuals are concerned. I'm sure that the gay community would still view the church as very judgmental, but it would be my view that internally that there is a great sense of compassion that has continued to grow for folks in every area of life where there is brokenness, where there are wounds, where there are misunderstandings regarding identity. And I believe that as we move forward, that we are going to do better, because I believe that people want to do better as they are recognizing friends, family members, spouses, children that are dealing with this issue in their lives for whatever reason.
It's really unfortunate, I believe, in so many, many ways, that often the whole subject matter of homosexuality is often reduced to an issue. That's very concerning to me, because when we reduce it to an issue, then we're dismissing this as really, really about people, men and women whom God loves, men and women for whom Jesus died.
Absolutely.
We, the church, we have to rely upon the truth and the authority of Scripture on this topic, and certainly many, many, many others. And I would submit that that's where we are today in terms of the church. It seems like a lot of men and women today are dismissing, rejecting, minimizing the truth and the authority of Scripture. Would you agree?
Well, not only would I agree, I think that there's been a depersonalization of God. I believe that there has been a deep wounding of God's Word having any authoritative place in not only the national life and conscience, but even certainly among God's people as well. I believe that in a whole lot of ways that what we've wanted to do is we want to be compassionate. We certainly want to be loving. We want to be caring about individuals that are at any place in their lives. And yet, Scripture also lays forward a standard. And standards are being challenged in every strata of our culture and society. So to me, it is no wonder, as even folks who walk into our churches are so deeply culturally entrenched, that coming to embrace God's Word as a standard for life, for living, for identity, for how we live our lives, that is a challenge that faces the church today.
Absolutely. I completely and totally agree. You know all too well, because you have served as president on the executive board of His Way Out Ministries twice. So you're very, very aware that we have ministered greatly, not only here in America, but in parts of the Caribbean and South America.
Right.
I'd like to ask you, there's no doubt that pro-gay activists have been incredibly successful in pretty much really accomplishing everything they've set out to do. And I would submit that the pinnacle for the gay community was the legalization of same-sex marriage. Any thoughts on how that all came about? Because it happened in a very, very short period of time.
Well, I think perhaps the result that you're talking about, or the legislation, appears to have happened in a short period of time. And yet the groundwork for that decision had been working for a couple of decades, at least in my mind. I think that you go back to what we had previously talked about, that when you are dealing with an issue that has deep spiritual connotations to it, there is morality based upon the clear teaching of Scripture and how we conduct our lives, how we view ourselves, where we draw our identity from, what human relationships look like. Well, when a good job has been done in our culture to somehow weaken that particular posture, to somehow move this from a scriptural or a moral issue to simply a love issue, or I would even say to move it from the realm of morality to a civil rights issue.
Yes.
I believe that one of the things that you've done is that you have created an environment where people are, again, not willing to embrace boundaries in their lives, not willing to embrace even disciplining desires, but saying that we are creatures who are just simply given over to the desires or the wants that we have in our lives. And many times we confuse wants with needs.
Yes.
That we've somehow moved away from a biblical framework of understanding of our creation according to God's word and our identity that's found in that. We've moved away from that, and we've not wanted to embrace that. And it's given a wide open door for folks with a different idea or philosophy to come in and to sell it on the basis of love and rights.
Absolutely. I'm sure you would agree that as Christians, God's word has to be our textbook, our roadmap, if you will, for life. We are sexual beings. That's how God created each and every one of us. Our sexuality from God really is a wonderful gift, providing sexual expression stays within his well-defined holy boundary lines. And I would submit the reason that God has been so crystal clear in his words about those boundary lines that we're all to strive to live within, he's trying to protect us from unseen danger. For many, many years at His Way Out Ministries, we have been emphasizing that the real crisis that we have faced and the crisis we continue to face today has really not been about homosexuality.
Right.
The real crisis I would face today is the authority of Scripture and the Lordship of Christ. I believe for Christian men and women, if we know Jesus as Lord, then he will also be Lord of our sexuality. Let me ask you, because today there are still many, many individuals, including some Christian men and women, that believe that homosexuals are born that way. Does that contradict Scripture?
Well, I believe that it does. I believe that God in our creation created us male and female, but we are born into environments. We're born into environments that help shape our identity. But I believe that ultimately, moving away from that design by creation, depending on whatever factors you want to bring in, the multiple layers that go into identity and sexual understanding, sexual identity as well, I still believe that that is a choice that is made at some point in an individual's life to move that particular particular way and journey and to identify themselves as a same-gender-oriented person.
Would you agree that for all faithful followers of Christ Jesus, and we're talking now about identity, and for a Christian really our identity is found in Christ, not our sexuality.
Right.
And I believe Scripture is abundantly clear that as a faithful follower of Christ, we really only have two appointed options by God the Father in terms of, to be very specific, sexual expression. One would be a man and a woman, the two becoming one, remaining faithful to one another, and doing their utmost to live once again within God's holy boundary lines.
Mm-hmm.
The other option, I believe, really revolves around a question. The question being, are you single? If the answer to that question is yes, you're not to be sexually active, period.
Well, that's a very clear statement of Scripture that you have just mentioned there. And I think it is the issue that so many struggle with today, both inside and outside the church. But once again, Phil, you're back at the authority of Scripture to be able to define for us the healthy boundaries that bring, I think, health, joy, peace, and long life, and the blessing of God in every area of our life, including our sexuality.
Right.
So, yes, I do believe what you said is true. There are those two choices. And yet again, we have people that, wonderful people who we would even say do have a heart to love God and to serve God, and yet who struggle for whatever reason, whatever layering, whatever causal situations are in their lives at this point, who struggle with that very clear boundary that's settled in Scripture.
Absolutely. I really believe also we need to take into consideration that we are each and every one, we are all born into a fallen world.
Mm-hmm.
We all struggle with a sinful nature.
Yes, we do.
And I have talked with so many men and women over the years, as you have as well, on this whole subject matter. And to sit across from these men and women and have them say, I did not ask for these feelings. I did not set out to be gay. And I understand that. And I know exactly where they're coming from. But let's take a step back. Did any of us ask for a sinful nature?
Well, no, we didn't, but that was the world that we were born into. And in the world that we have it right now, with the brokenness that it continues to live out all around us, these issues become more and more real and more individuals then born into that increasing brokenness do wonder what's going on and how do I find an answer and how do I move from where I'm at right now to honor. If I choose to live this way, how do I honor the very clear teaching of Scripture with my life?
We have been focusing on the behavior and the brokenness, if you will, of same-sex attraction. But heaven knows, heterosexual men and women, they have a very, very long list of issues themselves that they can struggle with. Sex before marriage, habitual adultery, addiction to pornography. I have sat across from many men and women, Christian men and women. We've been dialoguing on these very same points, mm-hmm. and have them say to me, but now, Pastor Lee, if it's on the heterosexual side, that's just more normal. Well, you know, I will go with you to a degree that it's more normal, but in God's eyes, is it more acceptable?
Sexual sin, sexual sin. And whether it's heterosexual or homosexual, sexual sin is sexual sin. And while I would say to you that it's absolutely true, and yes, we're focused on one particular topic here today, but in my line of work, I deal with as much brokenness, albeit in a different arena, but I deal with as much brokenness on the heterosexual side regarding sexual attitudes, sexual behaviors, yes. sexual appetites. I deal with those on a regular basis from students all the way up to adults of every age. So to say it's more, no, this is the struggle of anyone that is a human being, of how they're going to live their life, how they're going to order their relationships, how they're going to identify themselves, and what's going to rule their life.
Exactly.
Is it going to be their appetites? Is it going to be their desires? Or are they going to live by a higher and a more meaningful law, as it were, or code, as it were, that leads to the blessing in all of life, all of relationships, and I think also helps really build a secure society.
I'm sure you would agree that even as Christians, we do not get to choose that which tempts us.
Oh, no.
And again, with our sexuality being such a potent part of who we are,
yes. I mean,
can you think of a greater area in each of our lives for the enemy of our soul to attack? I mean, the evidence of carnage is just widespread.
Absolutely. I think that for me, as I've talked with individuals over the years, why I believe that sexual sin is so difficult in any life is because our sexuality is something that really involves the wholeness of who we are as a person, that it's not just a physical act. It's not just an emotional act. And even if you are ignorant of this or choose to ignore or discount it, it's a spiritual act as well. So when we engage in sexuality or sexual practice outside of the boundaries that the Creator of all of life set, well, when it cuts across every area of who you are, there is kind of a short circuit and a disconnect, and there are consequences that are rather unique
yes.
to sexual sin.
Yes. Many, many people today are still challenging if a homosexual can really change. And I would submit first and foremost that the greatest change that any of us in our lives can experience is to know that we have been catapulted from darkness to light and we are in right standing. We have a deep, genuine, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, can a Christian struggle with the issue of same-sex attraction?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, just in the same way that a Christian can struggle with sexual temptation of any issue at all, whether it could be, as you've mentioned already, could it be pornography? Could it be adultery? Could it be premarital sex? Could it be any number of things that we would put in there? Can an individual who says, you know what, I identify first and foremost as a Jesus person, could this be the issue in my life that I struggle with? Absolutely, it could.
You know, completely appreciating that this whole subject matter regarding homosexual practice is a very emotional topic for many people, and
yes.
sometimes it becomes even very, very heated.
Yes.
I have sat across from many men and women that are gay identified, and they're not at a point in their life that they really want to make any significant changes.
Right.
And what I often hear them share with me is, why is it you conservative Christians are coming down so hard on us that are gay identified, and this is the direction in life that we have chosen to travel? We're not in a place right now in our lives we want to make any changes. And I really am concerned that when we share the truth of Scripture, both the Old and the New Testament, which clearly shows us that homosexual practice is just one sin that God says don't go there. There are many, many other behaviors
Absolutely.
That God has clearly stated we're not to practice. So I would challenge an individual in that when we are challenging them about practicing homosexuality, we're not being hateful, we're not being a bigot, we're not being homophobic. I would submit that we're really being protectors, defenders, if you will, of God's character and the truth and the authority of His Word.
Well, I don't disagree with what you've said at all there. I just wish that we would understand when I'm talking with an individual that is gay identified and really has a different view of life than I do. One of the things that I really try to engage in is, I think, meaningful dialogue, and I love to talk about ideas. I love to talk about philosophies. I love to talk about perspectives.
Right.
I wish that when we disagreed, even in this issue, that we didn't have to turn to personal attacks.
Yes.
I don't hate you because I disagree with you, or I have a different life philosophy, or a different way that I order my life or look at life. You look at it differently than I do. I believe that we can still have dialogue. I believe that we can still be caring toward one another and wish the best for each other. I wish that that was what I saw more. Unfortunately, the most of what I see today, a lot of the, I guess you would say, the heavy-handedness, maybe even the outright hate
yes.
that folks who are gay identified feel from the church is not coming from the large number of people that I know who love Jesus.
Yes.
It's a smaller portion of individuals who have decided to make it their one issue. Albeit, I believe that sexual practice, sexual identity is a big issue.
Right.
I would say to you, it's not the biggest issue. And that there are much more reasons for us to be able to be in relationship with each other, to talk with each other, to talk about this topic as well. I think that there are so many more things that are more important about life transformation than just this issue.
Absolutely. I would say also that in conversing with someone on the subject matter of homosexuality, as Christians, we are not out just to win the argument. It's very, very important for us to keep Jesus as our perfect role model. And I see throughout Scripture that Jesus confronted people on a very regular basis. Now, there is a right way and there is a wrong way to confront someone. But with Jesus as our perfect role model, I see clearly in Scripture that every time He challenged someone, He always, always did so with an equal balance of both truth and grace.
Always He did. In fact, that's John 1:17, that He came full of grace and truth. To simply define Jesus or God as love, even though, oh my goodness, the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God are
yes,
so rich,
yes.
are so deep, are so true. But Jesus also speaks truth, not just to power, but to the human condition as well. And it's truth, God's truth, that many times we in our fallen or broken conditions, we don't want to hear,
right.
we don't want to accept, and we don't want to see work done in our lives to align us with His greater truth and blessing for
yes.
our lives.
I remember very, very well, and this goes back a little over 30 years ago, when I entered church for the first time in my life, there were Christians, thankfully, that held me to a standard of God's truth. I really believe, had they not, you and I may not be sitting here right now having this conversation. I also remember very, very, very well a Christian showing me 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, which clearly shows us a very long list, a catalog, if you will, of various behaviors, some which point to human sexuality, some do not, that practicing certain behaviors, we're standing in a very, very dangerous place. And in that passage, homosexuality is specifically mentioned, but it's mentioned in the middle of the list, which tells us what? It's just, in God's eyes, another sin. But when you keep reading that passage and you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, which I believe offers some of the sweetest words containing the entire Word of God, the verse says, "And this is what some of you were."
Absolutely.
Past tense. Obviously, thousands of years ago, men and women were struggling with same-sex attraction.
Yes.
And they saw resolvement of this area in their life. How did that happen? The same way it's happening today, through a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. And I think that, again, that for me, that's the continual invitation that comes back. Come on home. Walk into a relationship with Jesus. You will not find condemnation. You will not find hopelessness. You will not find helplessness. You will find love. You will find grace. You will find mercy. But you will also find power and strength to be able to deal with the broken areas that we all have in our lives and find that pathway where we have a partner on that pathway in Jesus to walk us toward wholeness and alignment with God's good purposes for our lives.
And would you not agree that God would never, ever call us to a standard that He would not also empower us to meet?
While it may be a cliche among Jesus people, God never leads you where He's not going to provide the resources to get you there.
Absolutely.
And so I agree with you.
Absolutely. Well, I am so grateful that you were able to join me this morning. This has been a great, great conversation.
Thank you.
Again, thank you, and thank the congregation of Family Community Fellowship for your very, very faithful and generous support over these many years. As a matter of fact, you have been on board with His Way Out Ministries when we began 22 years ago.
That's right.
So on behalf of all of us at His Way Out Ministries, thank you.
It's our pleasure. God bless you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.